This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about what you're seeing right now. ICE, Minnesota, the Communist Revolution. Liz Collins stops by to give us a real good look on things. All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. All right, so let's talk. And this is going to be about Minnesota and ICE and all the craziness going on right now. But did you know that I could probably get you fired from your job, or I could make your boss think about firing you from your job? Stay with me for a moment, okay? I know you're probably thinking, no, I'm a good employee, my boss values me, I show up on time. Or maybe you are the boss, by the way. I could get people to stop working with you. No, I run a great business. Okay, right, stay with me. Chaos, negative feelings in people. It doesn't always have to be valid. It can be created from nothing. You understand that? If you're a guy and you're watching and you're married, your wife ever have a bad dream about you? She wakes up maybe giving you the side eye. She knows. My wife will tell me, I know this is ridiculous, but I dreamt it. It's not valid. It was created from nothing. I did nothing to cause it. But that feeling is still real. So if I wanted to get you fired or at least make your boss think about it, you know what I could do? I could spend some money, go pull a bunch of money out of my bank account. I'll go find 20 people. 20 people desperate for money, lost, losers, drug-addled, violent people, maybe gang members, and I'll simply pay them. Pay them to do what? Well, they're going to show up where you work, and they're going to loudly protest every minute of every day outside of where you work. Now, I know, there are laws, there are rules. You're not allowed within 20 feet of your workplace. Well, that's fine. I'm not an idiot. I'm spending good money here. I'll make sure all my people are trained to stay exactly 20 feet away. They will have megaphones. They will have signs. Let's say your name is Bob. All day, every day. Fire Bob. Bob's a Nazi. Bob sucks. All day, every day. I'll then have those exact same 20 people. They'll yell at your boss when he pulls into his parking spot. Have you fired Bob? Why haven't you fired Bob, Nazi? Not breaking any laws, just saying, fire Bob. Maybe I'll even have them follow the boss home. Maybe when he picks up the old lady, takes her out to Red Lobster that night, I'll show up in the restaurant. Have you fired Bob? How are the Cheddar Bay biscuits? Day after day after day after day, fire Bob, loud noises, chaos at work. Your boss is just trying to make a living. You're just trying to make a living. How long do I have to do this before your boss, maybe he fires you, maybe he doesn't, before he sits down and thinks, maybe we gotta let Bob go. Maybe he doesn't even want to. Hey, I don't want to. I love Bob. Great worker, but I can't have this. I can't have this at the office. It's a distraction. Now, let me ask you this too. What did you do, Bob, to get fired? What did you do to deserve that? Nothing. I did it. It's my fault. I'm the one who had the idea. I'm the one who drained the bank account. I'm the one who found the scumbags and drug addicts and criminals and paid them. I organized the entire thing. I trained the entire thing. And yet, you, Bob, are now sitting at home out of work. I have the power. You have the power to create controversy and chaos from nothing at all. And the goal of that controversy and chaos is to hurt the people you want or hurt the people I want. And I can do that without breaking the law, and I can do it from nothing. You don't have to do a single thing wrong, and I can either get you fired or have your boss thinking about it. Now, what is happening right now in Minnesota? It's all the rage. It's every single news story. I know you woke up, you got on your phone, you're looking at the news. It's Minnesota, it's ICE, it's a shooting, it's ICE, it's chaos, it's a politician. What is happening right now? Well, it's exactly what I just told you on a much, much larger scale. As we've discussed a million times before, foreigners, the mass importation of foreign barbarians whose loyalty and votes can be purchased with taxpayer money, is the central pillar of the communist revolution in every single Western society. It's well underway in the UK, in France, in Germany. It's well underway in the United States of America. They didn't mass import the foreigners into this country because they love some spicy curry. They massively imported these people because it means political power for the communist revolution. The mass importation of foreigners is everything. Now, if you had built your house on top of one central pillar, and that central pillar was under attack, what would you do to protect it? It's your home, your whole family's inside, all your wealth, everything you have. You would do anything, everything to protect it. I warned you before, I'll warn you again. The propaganda campaign against the mass deportation of foreigners will actually exceed the largest propaganda campaign ever in human history. That would be the COVID hysteria. The propaganda against mass deportation will exceed it. What you are seeing in Minnesota is not this week's story, last week's story. It's not one of these things that's going to come and it's going to go. This is the story that will define the next 3 years of the Trump administration if they don't back off and continue. Why? Because it's everything to the communist revolution in the United States of America. And therefore, you have to understand, you must understand that it is a paid-for, organized communist campaign. Do you want to know what I'm holding here? Pages and pages and pages of it. You see this? Pages of it. I have this courtesy of Cam. Cam is an investigative journalist. Cam Higby, by the way. He's an investigative journalist. He got this. Now, what is this? This is actually, speaking of your work, this is very similar to the big binder of stuff your boss slammed on your desk the first day you started work. It's a list, only it's a communist street animal list. Do's and don'ts. Fill up your car with gas. Wear a mask. Here's a nice spreadsheet on ICE and everything else. I'm not going to go over the documents. You're looking at a professional communist guerrilla insurgency. We have in the United States of America hostile foreign city-states residing inside of our border. They are in open rebellion against the United States of America. It is the Democrat Party and people who vote Democrat, from the highest elected officials on down to the nutball communist street animals out there getting themselves killed. It is professional, it is organized, and they are after you. They are after your heart, they are after your mind. They want you to get on Instagram, to get on Facebook, to see this video, to look at this crime, to look at this story, and they want you to start questioning yourself. Well, I mean, maybe we should slow down, maybe we should back off. The highest levels of the Democrat Party have been taken over by the communist revolution. Allow me to introduce you to Representative Alex Falconer.
I'm a community organizer at heart, and that's part of what I'm trying to bring to the legislature. I'm helping to lead the community response, rapid response network that we have, given any ICE situations. I have a couple cards here. I'm willing to stop and to stay around and talk with anybody that wants any more information. We've got a couple groups on the app Signal that we would love for you to join.
app Signal? Oh, we've already found this out as well. You didn't think it was down to just papers, right? They have a large online organizing messaging forum where they are coordinating with each other. This is all professional. It's all coordinated. And it's not just street animals. Allow me to introduce you to the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota.
Our neighbors are being disappeared. P.S. Without due process, it is just called kidnapping. Then show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line and use nonviolent direct action, which is one of the most important tools in our toolbox to say, I am not okay. I will not go silently into the night. I will join arms with my friends, with my neighbors, and with people who generally believe that folks should be able to afford their lives, should be treated with dignity and as human beings. Then we need to see
people. They hear the elite communists make that call, and those elite communists, of course, arrange for not just legal protection, for the funding to organize street animals. Street animals who then speak like this.
My name is Kyle, I'm Antifa, and there's so much rage in me that I've had to record this like 15 times trying to get the message out. They f***ed up, okay? Go watch my other videos, doesn't matter if you're not here and you're not caught up, you missed the f***ing fight. But if you are, it's time to suit up. Boots on the ground. Show up, ready to go, okay? Not talking about peaceful protests anymore. We're not talking about having polite conversations anymore. This is not a f***ing joke. There's nothing fun to chant about it. Get your f***ing guns and stop these f***ing people.
They're communist revolutionaries. They are waging war against the United States of America. You don't have to want a war. I certainly don't want a war. This sounds horrible. But that is where we are. I don't know how we will navigate this, but we have to acknowledge they are fighting a war. They are. And this war, again, I want to stress, it's not just street savages with bad tattoos. It has worked its way up into the highest levels of power in the hostile foreign city-states in this country. Here's the chief of police.
The greater issue is, even if there is an investigation that ultimately proves that at the time of the shooting it was legally justified, I don't think that even matters at this point, because there is so much outrage and concern around what is happening in the city.
Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, this is not going to work on me. Jesse, I am not swayed. I want every single foreigner deported. I do not want anyone to back off. We shouldn't retreat from Minnesota. We shouldn't back off even a little bit. If anything, we should double down. Maybe that's what you're saying, and I'm sure that probably is what you're saying, but you have to understand the target of these propaganda campaigns. It's not you. You're a thinking human being, a strong human being. These propaganda campaigns are designed to target the weak, effeminate, stupid people in our society. Most of those people are elected Republicans. Here is the governor of Oklahoma, a blood red state where GOP primary voters could elect somebody to the right of me. Instead, look at this effeminate dork.
And so what's the goal right now? Is it to deport every single non-US citizen? I don't think that's what Americans want. We have to stop politicizing this. We need real solutions on immigration reform. And I believe that I've got a great solution, that we should give the states the authority to do workforce permits, right?
So are you saying that they should pull out of Minnesota?
Well, I think that the president has to answer that question. He is a deal maker, and he's getting bad advice right now. The president needs to let the American people, what is the solution? How do we bring this to conclusion? And I think only the president can answer that question because it's complicated. We have to enforce federal laws, but we need to know what is the end game. And I don't think it's to deport every single non-US citizen.
It's not complicated at all, you walking advertisement for low testosterone. It's actually quite simple. The country has been flooded with millions of foreign barbarians. We should arrest and deport every single one of them. No, not just the rapists and murderers. Go find every single freaking person who invaded my country illegally. Throw handcuffs on them through the crying, through the weeping, through the gnashing of teeth, through the protests, and deport them back from whence they came, if not a horrible deserted island somewhere, as punishment and a message to the rest of them who might think about coming into my country illegally. All gas, no brakes. Do not back off. Do not slow down. Do not extend a hand to communist animals fighting a revolution in this country. Mash every single one of them into a fine powder and save the United States of America. The propaganda campaign does not work on you, but it might work on your stupid mother-in-law. So talk to her about reality. And it most definitely works on the low-T GOP. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Liz Collin joins us next to give us a good look. Before we talk to Liz Collin, let me talk to you about the people who fund this stuff. Because maybe you're asking. I mean, my goodness, we have all these pages and pages and pages of communist instructions to disrupt ICE. Who's paying for that? Who's doing all that? Well, corporate America is participating. You know that, right? Did you forget about Black Lives Matter? Did you forget that they had corporate sponsorship? That's why all those communist founders now live in mansions. Did you know that? Did you know that your cell phone company probably funded it? AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? Mine didn't. I have Pure Talk. They charge me less. They're on the same towers, so I have the same service. My company cares about veterans, the United States, patriotism. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I just saw a video of more than six masked agents pummeling one of our constituents and shooting him to death. How many more residents, how many more Americans need to die or get badly hurt for this operation to end?
We have got children in Minnesota hiding in their houses, afraid to go outside. Many of us grew up reading that story of Anne Frank. Somebody's going to write that children's story about Minnesota. And there's one person who can end this now.
Joining me now, the great journalist Liz Collin, senior reporter, Alpha News. Liz, obviously, your state has been the news in the country for a couple weeks now, but not because of the wonderful fishing up there. What's happening up there?
Yeah, Jesse, we had more vandalism overnight to a Minneapolis Hilton hotel property. Ongoing chaos, vehicles outside. They were damaged by rioters. Weekend of chaos continued now in the wake of the shooting death of Alex Pretty. That happened on Saturday. That shooting is under investigation at both the state and federal level, as President Trump also acknowledged this weekend. There is a call for Minnesota Law Enforcement Labor Services for an emergency state and federal summit on immigration enforcement to establish what state local law enforcement leaders they call clear coordinated policies for enforcement and detainers, saying what is taking place now is unsustainable. We heard from the White House today what that looks like, simple cooperation between federal, state, and local law enforcement. It happens in other states, seems to not be happening in Minnesota. Instead, you have the rhetoric that you just heard from Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey and Governor Tim Walz continue. We saw this, though, last night, Jesse. No Minneapolis police were in sight for backup as rioters made it eventually inside that Hilton hotel property. I've been speaking with officers at the state and local level for days. They say that law enforcement in Minnesota is crippled. They are severely weakened in Minnesota with their response. In fact, we obtained a memo by Alpha News that went out to all police chiefs in Hennepin County. This happened on Friday. This is from radical leftist Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty. She offered quote, support as you seek to investigate reports of alleged criminal conduct by your federal agents in your community. So this tells you, again, what the cops are up against in Minnesota. I will say that it seems that this is welcome news with Tom Homan coming to town very soon here to try to get a better handle on things. Lifelong law enforcement kind of guy, hearing from cops that they welcome this. And also we heard that Governor Walz and President Trump spoke on the phone. They seem to be trying to get on the same page here.
Liz, can you help me understand? Look, I'm trying not to be a cynic here, but can you help me understand why I should be at all hopeful that Walz would be anywhere close to the same page, let alone the same book, as Donald Trump, when Walz has vocally been against any kind of deportation whatsoever? Is this, I'm Tim Walz and I might be facing legal trouble, so go easy on me? Why should I be hopeful about this?
Actually, just days ago, Jesse, you had Governor Walz actually reaching out to constituents trying to raise money for his legal defense. I'll be honest that I have a hard time not being cynical as well with seeing this sort of on repeat. People are calling this, you know, kind of the fall of Minneapolis part two. But there does seem to be businesses have now come out and said that, you know, we need to de-escalate. We need answers. We need people to come together here. So sometimes the voting happens with the pocketbooks. And this is what we're seeing in Minnesota as well. So I want to remain hopeful again, because this chaos, you know, as we're hearing, is not sustainable.
Liz, sadly, this is part two for you, as you just pointed out, the fall of Minneapolis. You have a wonderful documentary about that, by the way. But you experienced the first one. Can you compare that for us? Because most of us, we see this through the window of our phones, right? Or what we see on television, but you actually exist in it. Compare the two.
You know, what we are seeing with the death of Alex Pretty, quickly there was calls for an investigation that obviously has happened at, again, the federal and local levels. BCA agents have been out as well. You also have, you know, people, they basically shot video of this from all angles, so you can kind of see for yourself. I will say that people are hoping for more action to be taken against these anti-ICE agitators. This is something we've been reporting on for months, these groups that are highly trained. They're out there tracking and trailing these ICE agents. How has this been allowed? We have people in high-ranking government positions, legislators that we've outed before that are openly encouraging this. We saw this with the Renee Goods, her unfortunate death, impeding traffic and then, you know, running at an ICE agent, with her vehicle. So why isn't more being done to break up these agitators? How has this been allowed? So I think that the FBI has now acknowledged that they have an open investigation into these chat groups as well here, Jesse.
Liz, final one for me here. I know you've got to go. The Somali fraud stuff, I don't want to be distracted from a gigantic story that involves the American taxpayer apparently being swindled out of a whole lot of money. Where are we at on all that?
Now, I think that's a really good point here, because we've been hearing from state employees who were so hopeful that they would finally get answers, shut this fraud down. And they are saying that they're hearing Governor Tim Walz is almost celebrating, reveling in this, how it has taken the focus off of that huge story. It seems that President Trump has said basically in every one of his tweets about the ongoing ICE situation that there really is a cover for fraud. But I will say that's what I'm hearing from a lot of folks, whether in law enforcement or state employees, that don't let this fraud story die, because that is really what they're trying to do, kind of continue this chaos as a bit of a cover, in their opinion.
Liz, appreciate you. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Who are some of these communist revolutionaries in America? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, are you snowed in? Have you been snowed in? It's icy out there. What have you been snacking on? Be honest. Be honest about it. Look, it was cold yesterday here in Houston. Nobody was out and about. Everyone was closing businesses. You know what I did? I snacked. Oh, I snacked. But I had Massa chips. Not only were they delicious, little hot sauce on my Massa chips, I can eat them guilt-free. I don't even have to risk getting the side eye from the wife because it's just natural stuff. No seed oil filth, none of that. Just beef, tallow, salt, corn, the crunch. They are the crunchiest. They're the best thing in the world. Try some Massa chips. They even have a dessert chips like churro, but I like the lime ones a lot. Big fan of the lime. They have habanero, just regular chips. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Remember when we talked earlier, 10, 15 minutes ago, about how all this is trained and funded, all this communist street animal activity? You got all that. But then, remember when we talked about who that propaganda is aimed at? You see, there are a million parables out there, wonderful parables in the Bible about a seed, how it needs to get into the right soil to grow, right? If it lands on just stone, it's not going to grow. It has to land on fertile soil that's ready for a seed, made for a seed. Well, when it comes to communist seeds, you're a stone. That's the biggest compliment in the world. You could watch things on your phone all day, watch the news, hear all this communist propaganda, and it's just never going to take root in you because you know the truth. You've been exposed to the truth. You probably talked to other people about the truth. It's not going to work on you. The communist knows that. The communist needs soil, good, fertile soil, so his revolution can grow. How do you ensure, if you're a communist, that you will have this fertile soil? Well, you got to make it sometimes. This is part of the reason we've been talking so long about communists and children. And it's part of the reason we've been warning for so long, they are after your children. Lenin talked about, I need 4 years with our nation's youth. They know they want the children. If they can get to the children, they can turn that child from stone into topsoil. Topsoil that is ready, tailor-made for communist propaganda. Why do you think these people become teachers? Allow me to introduce you to a teacher.
So his move should have been to go like this if he was really afraid. Your job as a police officer is to de-escalate.
It's a split second.
No, he had no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
She was not. I'm not going to argue with you.
Just arguing right now. You're arguing.
Because watch the video, he was not
just
in danger.
Just because you're yelling doesn't mean you're winning an argument. Just because you're yelling doesn't mean you're winning.
Cash?
Just because you're alive doesn't mean you are intelligent.
Good for the students for standing up to her. That woman didn't take a job as a teacher to teach Aiden, Jaden, and Braden how to read or do math or teach them about history. She took a job as a teacher to create topsoil so that communist seed would find fertile soil. That's why she's there. And the scary thing is, yes, that student, couple students it sounded like were standing up to her, she gets a new batch of students every single year. And for her, remember, she's a communist soldier. That's how she views herself. Every single year is an opportunity, not to teach, to recruit. That's what she's there to do, to recruit more soldiers for the revolution. And it's not just the teaching profession, of course. You see, the three most damaging things the communists have infiltrated in the United States of America, the education system, the legal profession, and I'm sorry to say this one because it's going to make you wince, the medical profession. This has been happening for years now in medical schools. We don't want to think about our doctors and nurses that way. They have white lab coats. They're changing our bedpans. They're so very nice. They care for us. But you didn't think the communists were just going to let that go, did you? You didn't think the communists were just going to allow a profession that's outside of politics. Communists don't operate that way. Now, what kind of person, what kind of a nurse might be helping you deliver your baby? Maybe this kind.
As a labor and delivery nurse, it gives me great joy to wish Caroline Leavitt a fourth degree tear. I hope that you rip from bow to stern and never normally again, you.
She's not alone. I could play for you. I'm not going to, because I don't want to dishearten you. I could play for you right now. We've played it before on the show, a video of the graduation ceremony at Columbia Medical School, where the students are all proclaiming their loyalty to DEI and equity and things like that. Don't get sick. Nurse after nurse, doctor after doctor in the United States of America. It's no longer the kindly old white guy in a lab coat who just wants to help you clear up the sniffles. They're communist revolutionaries. Might want to be careful wearing that MAGA hat in the doctor's office. All right, we're going to go talk to a pastor. Before we talk to a pastor, let me talk to you about chalk. I have a feeling Pastor Davis is going to talk to us about testosterone. That's weird. Why would he talk about that? Because it's a critical part of men. You must have it. We have to have it. And we've lost it. 50% of it in 50 years. We lose 1% a year. We are drowning in estrogen now, and we can't save our country if we're a bunch of effeminate dork men. Can't. Reverse it naturally. Chalk will do it for you. Chalk, I've been taking it for 4 years. I've been taking a male vitality stack for 4 years. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. I have so much energy and focus. I'm ready to go. I woke up today on Monday excited to come to work. How about that? CHOQ.com/JesseTV. Get a subscription. 90 days. You're 90 days away from feeling better. We'll be back. I believe communism is of the devil. I've told you that many times before. I believed it from the first moment I watched, well, read about what they did to the priests and the nuns in the Soviet Union, Spain, you name it. I believe it is demonic ideology of Lucifer himself. And you see that. You see that when they invade churches, talk about the devil. But how does the devil work? Well, he deceives. And he deceives by trying to use your values against you. Remember him quoting scripture to Jesus himself? Of course, didn't work for the old Son of God, but does it work on you? Joining me now, J. Chase Davis, pastor, has a wonderful book out, Offensive Christianity. Pastor, so many well-meaning Christians in our society, so many of them, they do succumb to the endless propaganda because they want to be nice and they want to be seen as good and I want to be kind. And it, of course, Turn the Other Cheek is the only book in the Bible they're preached at by their pastor every single Sunday. And it is working on some Christians in this country.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. I mean, after 2020, I'm not sure how any Christian can kind of play that game anymore. You'll see the left constantly trying to hold Christian values or their supposed Christian values and turn verses against Christians. We saw this during the lockdowns. We've seen it over and over and over again, and it's straight out of kind of a Marxist framework. And so they have nothing but disdain and disrespect for the Christian faith, and yet they will try to use Christian verses in order to justify bludgeoning Christians. Unfortunately, many Christians succumb to this kind of rhetoric, and they choose to try to engage reasonably. And the time for engaging these people reasonably is over. It has been over for a long time. And it's time for Christians to go on the offensive and stop entertaining these arguments from people who hate God. We see this over and over and over again in Scripture. The people of God have no need to justify themselves before people who hate them and hate their God. And so Christians need to stand firm in their faith, know what they believe, and not be distracted by these godless atheists who just want to manipulate us and propagandize us to get them to do their bidding.
What does that mean, go on the offensive for the Christian community in this country? It's wonderful to hear a pastor finally talk like that, but what does that mean?
Well, specifically what I'm talking to, and I'm talking directly to men, Christian men, need to learn to gird up their loins, like the Bible talks about, get to work. They need to find brotherhood, get connected to a local church, joining community, and get engaged politically, socially, and anywhere that the Lord has put their hand to the plow. They need to work harder unto the Lord. One of the things and one of the lies that that the left really has been using over the last century in America is kind of a pietistic approach to Christianity, one that Christians are taught not to dirty themselves with politics or social matters because that's worldly. And really, we should just focus on our heavenly home and kind of see the world burn around us and do nothing about it. I think this is a despicable, unrecognizable version of Christianity, a warped version that has been foisted upon the church by the left and by godless ideologies. And in order to suppress the masculine instincts of men, to basically get out of the way and not defend our homes, not defend our nation, not defend our faith. And so for Christian men to go on the offensive is to lead with strength and courage, to get reconnected with the Christian faith that is not disembodied, that is not just kind of concerned with spiritual matters, but it's a deeply spiritual and embodied experience. We worship a risen Lord who has a body right now. And so I encourage people, go pick up my book. And in my book, I talk about how men especially need to understand that what they've been offered is essentially a low-T version of Christianity with soft, effeminate pastors in the pulpit who are unwilling to lift a finger to defend their neighbor and will simply propagandize them into doing whatever the left seems to want to do in this country. And that day is over. It's time for Christian men to stand strong, stand firm, get back to the Word of God. And this is also true for those who are men but not Christians yet. While there's many who might appreciate the laurels of the Christian faith, it's very much like an oak tree that provides shade. They need to be grafted into that oak tree. And so Christianity will also not be utilized simply as some kind of cover for those who hate God as well. They need to come to faith and turn from their sins and find strength in Jesus Christ so that they can be strong in this day of testing.
Pastor, how does a society get so many of these effeminate pastors, as you call them? I've argued before, and I don't know because I'm not one, certainly not qualified to be one, that the kind of pastors you're going to get are going to be the kind of men society produces anyway, and maybe we just produce more men like that, and so you're going to end up with more pastors like that. But I don't know if that's right. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues that we could get into. I think one does deal with the ideologies and the twisting of Scripture that has suppressed the natural masculine instincts of men to rule and have dominion and subdue the earth. But I also think it has to do with our biology, that many pastors today are fat, many pastors today are weak, and this is shameful behavior. The Bible clearly speaks about gluttony, and pastors shouldn't be gluttons. And so, you know, especially pastors, they need to be men who are respectable. They need to be well thought of by outsiders. The Bible clearly says this. And so we've seen not just, like you mentioned, not just in the pulpit, but society at large, we have many men who would be considered effeminate today. And that gets into biology, what we're eating, what we're consuming, what kind of diet we're on. I mean, the testosterone levels today are abysmal compared to 50 years ago, almost unrecognizable, the men today. And so it's really incumbent on pastors to lead the way in talking about these matters, because these matters are deeply connected to our faith. When whoever's listening or watching this program is listening with ears and watching with eyes, our bodies matter to our life, and God cares about our bodies. He designed our bodies. He designed men with testosterone that is higher than women, so they can be stronger, more resilient, and do the work of the Lord in subduing the earth. And so it also gets into the issue of seminaries and the training that pastors are getting in seminaries. Many seminaries have been co-opted by a leftist agenda. Many of the professors themselves come from the secular university. Many evangelicals have a kind of striver mentality. They want to gain respect from the world more than respect from God. So they'll hire these kind of leftist professors who say they're evangelical Christians, and then they'll teach these potential pastors and pastors in training to become kind of effeminate themselves in order to kind of acquiesce to devilish schemes in the world. This is terrible behavior. Not only that, but we have seminaries all across this country where, you know, basically they believe that men and women can both be pastors. And this is historically just an anomaly. This is strange behavior for Bible-believing Christians. The Bible's very clear on the role of the pastorate and who should serve in ministry in that capacity. And so we have a ton of issues, and a lot of it's addressed in my book, like I've mentioned, but a lot of it has to do with biology, that a lot of the kind of laziness, the work that we do today, it's very depressing for many men. I talked to so many men across this country that their work consists of sitting in front of a blue screen, punching keys on a keyboard in order to keep customers happy. That's fairly depressing work. I mean, you can find satisfaction, and I think it can be God-honoring. I'm not trying to diminish anyone's work that they're doing on technology, but all of us are just inundated with a lifestyle and a habit and a way of being that doesn't pursue glory, that doesn't pursue honor, and ultimately the glory of God, but kind of pursues a sedentary lifestyle where we're stuck in boxes watching blue screen devices until we fall asleep at night on a steady diet of Doritos and pizza. This is not going to lead to a very strong masculine society.
Pastor, what does the Bible say about immigration, deportations, things like that?
Yeah, the Bible in the Old Testament specifically talks about immigration in several places, Deuteronomy and elsewhere. Basically, the idea is for the nation of Israel at the time, the covenant people of God, they were to welcome the sojourner, but that sojourner was expected to assimilate into that culture. And so there were also restrictions on the immigrant or the sojourner about holding any kind of power in the nation. Actually, many generations had to pass before they were considered fully assimilated enough in order to be grafted into any kind of influence in the nation state of Israel. And so, of course, we should care, but we should also be mindful. I mean, that the Bible clearly talks about that, you know, a curse of God is that the foreigner will rule over you. This is not good for God's people. And so we want to take that and that principled approach when we read the Old Testament. We want to understand it thoroughly and apply it wisely and prudentially today when it comes to immigration. I mean, the issues that we're facing in our country with Biden releasing so many millions of immigrants, illegal immigrants, into our country, many criminals, all of them criminals if they're illegal. But, you know, we have to do a lot of work to kind of get back to an honest system here in America where they're not taking advantage of our welfare, and we have many welfare benefits for immigrants, not taking advantage of our voting system, whatever it may be. But the Bible does offer a very prudential approach from God's word about how to treat people, how to, you know, defend your home. We're preaching through Nehemiah at our church, and it's about rebuilding the walls and defending the walls. And Nehemiah does a great job in the face of opposition and those who taunt him, saying, "You shouldn't do this. You know, how could you do this? This will never work." Nehemiah stands strong, and this is what Christian men need to do today. They need to stand strong with the ability to defend themselves and their people, and also get to work building what needs to be built in order to make our nation prosper and thrive. Ultimately, as Nehemiah shows us, it actually starts with us owning our sin before the Lord. We have to own our sin before the Lord. And so immigration is actually deeply connected in the Old Testament with the people's sin and their lack of willingness to repent before God. And so it's never a good thing. It's always bad when God's people are exiled. This is a covenant curse God lays on them in Deuteronomy 20. And so these are not good things when there's massive demographic replacement, when there's massive fraud in the system. And when a nation can't defend itself, this is very contra-Bible. This is not in line with the Bible. God's people are commanded to defend themselves, should defend themselves, should worship the Lord. And these are principles that our founders knew, that Western Christians have known for many, many centuries before us. But it's only recently that we've been manipulated into thinking that, well, because the Bible says you have to care for the sojourner that's in your midst, therefore, you have to let every immigrant that ever wanted to come to your country into the country and give them anything they want whenever they ask. That's a nonsense position that's unbiblical.
His book is Offensive Christianity, highly recommended. Actually, I'm going to read it with both of my sons. We're going to discuss it in my house. Pastor, appreciate you very, very much. Come back soon, please. Remember that. You're not supposed to be effeminate. All right. Also, remember this, at jessekelly.com, we're giving away something free soon. Listen, jessekelly.com, it's not a scam. I'm not going to drown your email with all these stupid things every day. Sign up 10%. I'm not trying to sell you anything. We're just going to give you something, okay? Something I've been wanting to do for a while, something we've been working on for a while. It's finally done. They may be crossing the T's right now, but it's finally done, and we're ready to send it to you. JesseKelly.com. Go put in your email address. Not going to cost you a dime, right? JesseKelly.com. Let's do Light in the Mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Now, remember we talked earlier about how these things are professional. These protests, they're professional, and they organize people, right? But that's the bad news. The good news is this. What kind of a person would become a communist street animal? Who wants to do that? What were you doing the last couple days? It's probably cold where you live. Maybe you went to church, maybe you hung out with family, friends, watched some football, lived kind of a normal life. Imagine the kind of person you have to be to get a bullhorn and go out and try to wrestle with ICE agents, these people. What kind of a person? The lowest scumbags in society and the dumbest people in society. It should give you at least a glimmer of hope that the dumbest people in society are the communist street animals we are up against. Allow me to introduce you to the IQ of our opponent.
So I'm Somali. I'm proud to be Somali. To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice. it's a lot. It's like It's an interesting thing. It's very hard to describe what it means to be Somali and what it means to be American, but it's like a cultural fusion. It's kind of like the bananas and rice. You know, people don't really see, like, you know, people don't think, oh, you can eat bananas with rice, but that's what it's like to be Somali and American. It's like that combination of banana and rice, but you're gonna get.
It's like bananas and rice. It's not just like that, but if I have to think about it, it's like bananas and rice. Sounds terrible, by the way. Let's see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.